Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
The headline of this story made this woman look like a monster.
Yeah.
And when we first saw it a while ago, that's what she was. But now that we have some more details, things could, and I emphasize could, be different.
All right.
And maybe it's possible we should have some mercy on a woman that was hiding a dead body for money.
Yeah.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's just Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF, all the way back.
Yeah.
In September of 2023, we in Rochester heard a shocking story.
Pretty creepy.
A 63-year-old woman was arrested after police say she had been living with the body of her dead 66-year-old boyfriend. Story on 13 Wham said the body was kept in the basement of their Bryan Street home in the city. And the body had been there for a while.
Yeah.
Police say she had kept it there from December of 2022 until September of 2023. Now, you had said coming into the break that you could not live with a dead body.
Well, this rotting person.
Okay, the woman had a process to deal with that.
Was it the lime or something?
They say she coated the body in bleach on a regular basis.
But it would still stink.
And kept it in a recycling bin in her basement to conceal the smell.
So there's no smell.
I don't know if there was no smell.
Yeah.
But that's what she did.
Oh, God.
According to police. And the reason she did this.
Yeah.
She was collecting his Social Security benefits.
Right.
Lots of people were very upset when this story hit initially. And you understand why, right?
And then Elon Musk showed up. Busted her ass. Gotcha.
Well, after 2 years, we finally have an ending to this story.
Right.
Because last week, this woman pleaded guilty to taking government money that wasn't hers.
Mm-hmm.
She is facing 10 years in prison and $250,000 fine. She will be sentenced in early May. All right, so the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I am curious here in the room.
Yeah.
At this moment, Tommy,
yeah.
How do we feel about this woman?
Well, I mean, now that you have the motivation, what the motive was for doing all this.
Money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait, that doesn't bother you?
I mean, it makes it a little less creepy because she was just doing it because she needed cash.
Because you're saying you can see the reason behind it.
Right. I mean, it wasn't like she loved him so much that she just wanted to keep him around.
Well,
it wasn't mental illness.
That actually would be the opposite for me. That would be less bothersome to me than what you're describing.
No, I think she's a bad person, yes, but she's not mentally ill.
Okay. Kimmy,
yeah.
Your thought on this woman right now.
I don't know, man. Like, it's disturbing to me whether or not it was for money. I mean, just the fact that, like, you could, like, do you think, like, she could
decompartmentalize?
Yeah. Like, separate the fact that, like, she was still living a normal life while this was happening in her house. Like,
well, she
or
could.
Do you think it was something that she constantly thought about? I don't know what would bother me more.
I mean, yeah. Look, there are people who live in circumstances where, as crazy as it is, it just becomes their normal.
Right, yeah. And that's what I'm wondering.
And she's
I guess.
Collecting the checks and she's living her life.
Okay, so here's where it gets interesting.
But I would never be able to step foot in my basement.
Here's where it gets interesting, because we now have a couple more details that will give us a brighter light on how you feel about this woman. We have a total amount that she received of money in the 10-ish months she was hiding this body.
So this is the grand total.
You got it. In total. Between Social Security and SNAP benefits, this woman, living with her ex-boyfriend's dead body, collected about $9,000.
Right.
She lived with the body of her boyfriend for 10 months for $9,000.
Free money.
But in the grand scheme of things, considering what she had to do, not that much money.
A gallon of bleach downstairs once a week? And instead of going to work? They have doing a side hustle.
But you would have to
still go to work.
No. I say, like, if she wanted to make an extra $9,000, she'd have to go get a side job.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
If you told me
once a week downstairs,
if you told me you could live with a body.
Oh, I could.
For 9 months or drive an Uber. I'm driving an Uber.
Okay, but, you know, some people don't want to work. Nobody wants to work anymore.
Well, it's work taking care of that body.
Do you think she had a plan? Because you got to think eventually somebody's going to notice this guy is missing. Like, no, he didn't have any family, friends, anything.
Well, I don't know how they found out he was there because, he was gone for 9 months.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people can be, you don't
have somebody would come looking for him. He probably had, like, stuff scheduled, appointments maybe. I mean
we know guys. We know guys that...
If they left
this earth tomorrow, I wouldn't know for a year that they had passed.
Yeah. But eventually, I'm thinking like after a few years.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, Kimmy, there are other stories
There's no exit plan.
There are other stories that we've seen where people sell a home after living there for 50 years and they discover a body in the house.
Yeah, true.
All right, so with all of this being said, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. That total of $9,000 with this woman 2 years ago that we found out had her ex-boyfriend's body. She's 63 years old. He was 66. She was keeping his body in a recycling bin in the basement of a home in the city of Rochester, pouring bleach over it on a regular basis to collect the money that he was getting in Social Security. That $9,000 is not a lot of money.
No, no.
And I think now we can put this woman in one of three categories.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
All right.
One. She's the monster that everyone thought she was. She did not care. She knowingly did this just to put extra money in her pocket, and in that case, throw the book at her fine, although you disagree.
Yeah.
Two, she was extremely desperate for money.
Yeah.
And in this moment of massive change in her life, the death of her boyfriend, this was the best idea she could come up with in desperation.
Okay.
Which I think is, it changed the story a little bit.
Yeah.
There's also the third situation.
What is that?
That she has some issue going on with her, where this was a logical idea that made sense to her, and she didn't think she was doing anything wrong.
Oh. Almost like he's dead anyways, so... Like, you know how people sometimes justify these situations? Like, well, they would have wanted me to have this. They would have wanted me to do this. They would have done it if the situation was reversed.
Exactly.
Like, people do those mental gymnastics in their head.
And I think that we also have to keep in mind here that... when people are going through a grieving process, it can do very strange things. Like, we've watched Tommy, folks we know, act very weird.
Oh, sure.
When people they're close to die.
Everybody has a different process.
And we still don't know how this man died.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was an illness, a long illness, it's very hard to watch someone waste away in front of your face.
The agony, the pain.
It can get to the point where, while they're still breathing, it feels like they're already gone.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that could explain how, if this man had a long illness, she would be able to do what she did accused of what she's doing to the body and still love this man, if that's what the case was. But I find it weird, Tommy.
What's that?
If the third option, the one that she had somehow just lost her mind or had something going on, that's the bad one for you.
Yeah. It's, she's going through some stuff.
No, but that's the most explainable. That's the one that makes the most sense to me.
Okay, yeah.
No?
I guess we're at different pages.
I just find it weird that she committed a crime on purpose for you. It's like, oh, yeah, that. Why would you throw the book at her for that?
You also are somebody that has said, like, I don't care. Once I'm dead, I'm dead. I don't care, like, what you do with my body.
Well,
like,
I don't believe in...
Right, that's what... And if you know, they had had those discussions or this guy felt a certain way about that, maybe you also don't feel the guilt, I guess, of not giving them a proper funeral or sending them off the way they intended if they didn't care while they were alive, you know?
I didn't consider that, like the whole idea of the disrespect to that person's memory.
But I guess...
Like, if he didn't have any family and she was the only thing around, and you don't know what kind of relationship they had.
You're right.
And you don't know where this woman comes from and what she's been through.
Sure, yeah.
She may not really... She's just... She could be just straight up, I need money.
Okay.
You know, this guy's gone, he ain't coming back, and he left me holding the bag anyway.
I still can't get over the fact that that's the best solution for you. Like, that one in your head is the one where she's the least monster.
Right. Like, I wouldn't find her somebody I couldn't say hello to.
What?
You wouldn't?
I would be friends with her, but I wouldn't shun her. Like, okay. If I found out somebody here did that and they served their time.
Wait.
And let's say they work here now.
So you're telling me that one of our Moose had a body
I
in his
knew
face.
It. No, go ahead.
You could have a conversation with that guy and not
ten,
be.
Let's say 10 years ago he did something terrible. You know, he left and he didn't leave. He didn't go to L.A. for 10 years. And where'd all the serial killers go?
Good point.
Southern California.
We do have a Rochester to California serial killer.
And
history.
If he came back here, and we all knew it. We all know it. He served his time. I could talk to the guy. I wouldn't be buds with him, but I could say hello to him.
No,
and stuff.
I'd have a really hard time with that.
Really? You wouldn't even ask how the guy's day is?
No.
You want to piss him off?
Well, I'm not living with him. Yet.
No, I could socially say, I could socially accept them into my circle.
Forget the emotional part of it. Forget the fact that they were in a relationship or whatever.
Yeah.
The fact that you could live with a body.
Yes.
For $9,000 for 10 months would be enough for me to not want to be around that person.
Knowing that you had that in them.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, it wasn't just like the body was, like, stuffed away and never dealt with. Like, it says in the story that she was treating the body with bleach, is how they put it, in a recycling bin in the basement.
There was some maintenance involved.
Yes.
Bob, hold on, bro. We've met some guys that were criminals that did some pretty heinous stuff. And some of them sat in here, and we hung out with them, and they were fairly open about what they did and what caused them to go do 20 years in prison.
Sure, sure.
And they had redeemed themselves and seemed to be pretty cool dudes. Even though they had that in their past and had that in them, we still found them charming and likable at this point. But they kind of like, okay.
No, but I think that's what also bothers me about the story is her age when it happened.
Yeah.
Because, no, I'm with you. I'm not saying that nobody is redeemable, right? But it's the fact that a woman at this age, if everything is, how do I put this? If there isn't something going on with her, you get what I'm saying? That you could look yourself in the mirror, do this on a regular basis, and just, like, go about your... That would bother. Like, that is Rick James cold-blooded.
Right.
Cold-blooded.
Well, you know, some people are pretty gangster when it comes down
to... That's not gangster. That's disturbed.
Well, that's the same thing.
No.
I mean, gangsters will F you up, too, and take your money.
Well, it depends on what kind of gangster we're talking here.
I'm talking about straight-up gangsters.
Straight-up, uncut, pure Colombian.
Like, gangsters that leave bodies, like, all over the place.
Well, that's a different kind of gangster. I was thinking more like, you know...
No, not like a...
Cameron.
No.
Did I also
Drake or something?
Drake is not gangster.
Well, he thinks he's gangster.
You are Tommy's the type of guy who would call Drake gangster. I'm going to sue you for saying bad things about me.
Did I also see that her son was involved in some way too?
Yes, apparently. I don't have the story in front of me. Her son was involved, but I don't know how.
Yeah. Okay.
But then again, that could be also protecting your mom. Like, I don't know.
At that point, I don't know.
All right, 252-WCMF. I'm sorry, folks have been waiting patiently. We've been rambling. We're talking about the 63-year-old woman. Back in September of 2023, police discovered that she had the body of her 66-year-old boyfriend in a recycling bin in her basement. She's not accused of killing him. We still don't know how he passed away, but police say she kept him in that recycling bin, dead in her basement, treating the body with bleach for about 9 months while she collected his Social Security and SNAP benefits. They say in total she took about $9,000. She pleaded guilty to those charges. She's looking at 10 months in jail, a fine of $250,000. But now, with these details that it was only $9,000 to live with this body, the age of the woman, Tommy, finding out it was money, goes, that's fine.
I can explain that away.
I was under the impression, Kimmy, that, like, you know, at that age, maybe there's something else going on that would make her more of a sympathetic figure, not the straight-up theft. Not that I care about $9,000. All right, let's talk to Jeremy. He's on CMF. Hey, Jeremy, how are you, buddy?
Boy, this is a weird story.
Right?
I've been looking at the court filings here, and
as you would.
What's that?
I said, as you would, Jeremy.
Well, we have to get the facts straight, right? It looks like this. They limit the son's involvement to basically like he just knew. They haven't accused him of like tampering or anything. He basically just knew that this had happened, and I might have sympathized with this woman a little bit about the $9,000, but she spent $1,800 at Rent-A-Center. I mean, I don't know what kind of decisions you're making in your life if you're hiding your ex-boyfriend's body down in a recycled bin, wrapping it in plastic and putting in bleach, but $1,800 at Rent-A-Center? I don't know, man. And
right. I will say this. If you've never been to a Rent-A-Center, the furniture, a lot nicer than you think.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
All right, fair enough. But what strikes me the most is that I'm looking at a picture of this woman, and this woman looks like any person you'd see at Target or Walmart.
Yeah.
You're walking by this woman 10 times a day, and you have no idea who's around you and what they're doing and what they have going on in their life.
Yeah, I mean, you ain't wrong, man.
What's going on in their basement?
I mean, well, that's I mean, Jeremy, to your point, like, there are her neighbors. This body was there for 9 months. Her neighbors didn't know. Yeah. People that she talked to on a regular basis.
I mean, bleach is nasty stuff, man. Straight bleach, it eats your skin. It does terrible things to tissue.
But it gets those stains out of your color.
I mean, it does.
It sure does.
Who doesn't love
bleach? It makes your underwear look presentable there, Tommy boy.
Hey, Jeremy, thanks for being our fact checker of the day, buddy. I appreciate it.
See you, Dix.
There goes Jeremy. Combing over the court files.
Yes.
I'm combing over the court files.
According to this.
I'm going to ask you one. Go ahead.
Side note, it kind of makes sense that you'd go to somewhere like Rent-A-Center.
Why?
Like, if it's something that you need, like, if furniture seems like something that you need.
And you don't
want
to get tied down to anything.
Well, no, I mean, I was making a joke. Like, they have TVs.
And yeah.
They
got everything. Well,
that, you can get sneakers at Rent-A-Center.
Can you really?
Yeah.
I always thought it was, like, mostly furniture and stuff.
Well, it was at one time.
They got everything.
Oh, okay.
Well, when I lived with two guys and we got all our stuff from Rent-A-Center, my world was turned down. By the way, a lot of interest.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
All right, let me ask you this question.
Go ahead.
So we find out that, at least according to her guilty plea, that she collected $9,000 over 10 months for having the body of her ex-boyfriend in her basement. 1 year, same situation as this. You have to pour the bleach over the body. It's going to be in your basement, in a recycling bin. You have to do this once a week. How much money would it take for you to do that for a year?
Under the T money?
Yeah. No, they're going to tax you for hiding a body, stupid.
No, I want to know, like, when I say an amount, because I'm getting a check.
What you get, what you get.
What I get in pocket.
Did you just do the taxes question that you always make fun of? Yeah. What about the taxes? How much?
So 1 year?
Yeah.
Half a mil.
But that's way too much money.
You asked me a question.
No, I was...
Half a mil. You'd do it too for a half a mil.
I don't know. I don't know if half a mil's enough.
Bro.
I don't know if half a mil's enough.
Look, I know you're sitting large right now. But busted flabby boy, if I would have pulled up to that rent-a-dump with you and your buddies were hanging out to, and I go, hey, man, I got a dead body and some bleach. Get to work. Here's a half a million. You couldn't get out of them britches fast enough.
Look, man. Wait, now I'm okay.
Well, you don't want to get bleach all over your good flappy jeans you bought at Rent-A-Center.
I also don't want to get it on my penis. I only had two more payments left of those flappy jeans.
No, I. Who wouldn't take that deal?
Look, man, you know I'm a soft boy.
And by the way, you didn't do anything to hurt this guy.
Understood.
He's just gone.
But you know I'm a soft boy when it comes to, like, blood and squeamish and stuff.
I understand, but there's no blood.
No, I'm.
Yeah, he's just in a. He's
it's
in
a body. It's a body.
It's a decomposing body.
I could not. I couldn't do it. I'm telling you, I'm getting sick just thinking.
Open up the lid.
Nope.
Turn your head.
Nope. Now you just poured it all over your flappy jeans. You weren't looking.
Half a million bucks.
Not only that.
You know how hard and long it would take for an average human being to save a half a million dollars?
A lot.
Most people will never do it.
Understood, yes.
You also have to live with the fear of somebody finding it. I mean, like, it's not like it's a one and done thing. You're constantly maintaining.
That's a negative attitude.
You're constantly thinking about it.
The social pariah you would be if it got out.
What's the end game here?
Social pariah.
Man, the nightmares you would have, Kimmy. That would never leave you.
Everybody has nightmares.
I don't have nightmares.
Yours paid off a half a million dollars. You can't sleep at night. You can't sleep at night.
If I can't sleep at night and I'm not a monster, what the hell?
By the way,
the smell, the look, no, I couldn't.
It would go away after a while.
No.
It would become your normal.
It would haunt your dreams.
It would for a little while. A little while. Every job haunts you a little bit. Okay. You take your work home with you a little bit. But after a while, I think it would settle down into a routine.
I am now deeply bothered by how nonchalant you are.
By the way, after a while, let's say, you know, eventually the body dissolves, you get rid of it. You're going to miss that routine. You go, man, I used to like going down there, talking to the guy a little bit while I'm dumping bleach on his head.
No, I couldn't. No. I don't know if there's an amount of money.
You'd be surprised at what you could do for money.
Is that a proposition? Are you trying to sleep with me? What just happened?
I have a kiosk.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Donnie!
What's that, buddy?
They say never crap or ye.
That's right.
Never date a coworker. It will only end in disaster.
Don't do it.
Well, according to some allegations we have in front of us, a simple quote, relationship
mm-hmm.
between two co-workers could be enough to bring down a political career right here in the state of New York.
So what happened?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Joe DiStefano is a New York State Assemblyman, and he is in the middle of a political scandal involving an ex-girlfriend.
Oh!
According to Finger Lakes One, he is being sued by this ex-girlfriend, who was also a former staffer of his.
Okay.
In the lawsuit, she claims he pressured her to be his girlfriend while she was the director of community affairs for his campaign, a push she rebuffed.
So he kept hitting on her. She wasn't nothing to do.
You got it. All this right. is what she says. She then says she eventually gave in.
Well, that's Stefano's charm.
Due to his authority over her. Not so much charm.
Okay.
She says they had a brief relationship that ended last August. But she says after it was done, DiStefano demanded her resignation.
All right.
The assemblyman's lawyer admits the pair were romantically together, but they deny that's what led to her departure. And the assemblyman wants the case dismissed, not because this is false,
yeah,
but because he says he has immunity as a government official against stuff like this.
Where did he pull that out of?
Don't know. Hey, man, there's a lot of talk about immunity the last couple of years. Don't really know how
it works. He has special against stuff like this?
His lawyer claims.
All right, okay.
All right. Lawyer claims. Now, those are all the details all right. we have here. All right? 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Is dating someone you work with still something you shouldn't do? Because there are lots of companies that have policies against it.
I mean, I get why it complicates things for everybody, not even just the two people involved.
It doesn't stop it.
No.
You know what I mean? You can have all the rules you want, but people are going to be people, and they're gonna find ways to get to each other.
No, you're right. From the beginning of time, when the cavemen were working in Cavazon, right? Like they were dating each other. Everybody's done it. That's not the question.
Yeah.
I'm not asking do people do it. I'm asking is it still something you should not do?
Yeah, I think you're better off not doing it because if it doesn't work out, to your point, all the ugliness goes around the office or the shop, or wherever you're at.
Do businesses take seriously these policies they have that, you know, no employees can be romantically linked?
To your point, like, even if they took it seriously, like, you can't really fire
there are businesses that say if you have a relationship that you do not disclose.
Because I kind of felt like even if it was discouraged, like, you just, as long as you reported it to HR, you were fine.
I mean, there's places where management cannot date anybody because of the position you hold.
And that's kind of the situation we're looking at here. Now, I know it's not a private business, right? It is a little bit surprising that the state of New York doesn't have any rules regarding elected officials dating folks that are underneath them.
That seems like a much more complicated situation.
Absolutely. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Tommy, you are the one person in this room who has gone through a legitimate full marriage with a coworker.
I did it
twice.
Why would you do it a second time?
So I did it with my first wife because she worked at the grocery store.
And you guys continued to work together after you were married?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, And then, then my second wife, when I came to CMF, she was in the promotions.
Gotcha. And based on your experience, you would tell people,
don't do it.
Even though you did it twice.
Don't do it.
You did it twice.
Yeah. But it's, you know, think about, you meet people mostly at work.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I know. I mean, think of how many people, me included, that exist because their parents met at Kodak.
Oh, you're right. There's a ton of Kodak babies in this town.
Gotta be, right?
And that's why Kodak is what Kodak is now. If you guys would have stopped banging each other, we'd still be making cameras and film and be on top of the world. Thanks a lot, dicks.
But it sucks. It's the worst idea.
So, you know, it's funny. You've been divorced, what, like 15, 20 years
now? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I bet you could tell me how many days if you really thought about it. It is still super awkward between Tommy and his ex-wife, who still works with us, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys still work together. And to Kimmy's point a second ago, it also gets uncomfortable for the people who work around the coworkers that are either dating or broke up. Because, like, there is this, like, weird wall of, like, if I'm dealing with your ex-wife, like, one, I don't want to bring you up at all. Mm-hmm. If I don't want to tell you that I've been talking to your ex-wife, even though it's
that don't bother me.
We feel like children of divorced
it doesn't bother
parents.
You. No, really.
What'd she say?
Exactly. No, I know that it's not a personal thing, but there feels like this, like, both of you feel like the other one is trying to recruit people to be on their team.
Well, yeah, Team Tommy or Team X. What are you, Team X?
But I mean, but there's no Team Tommy. There's no Team X. We have to do things with.
I know. Right. Yeah,
no, but you don't, because you still get weird about it.
You do. You do get.
I mean,
weird.
Am I wrong?
No. Yeah.
Well, can you imagine if your husband?
Yeah.
Was your ex?
Yeah.
And he was upstairs sales guy.
No, I'm not saying it wouldn't be weird.
And it is weird, but man. Especially if we've been divorced a long time.
I know, that's what I mean. Like, you would think, though, with time, you'd get used to it, but you'd work around it. You'd figure out ways to
Well, you do work around it. You avoid each other. But, like, it's worse because, like, usually when you get divorced, you just don't see that person unless you have kids.
Yeah.
We never had kids, but we're still attached because of this job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I get why.
It's a very weird situation.
Okay. Well, she didn't think you'd be here this long. She was confident you got fired 15 years ago.
Right,
he'll get himself kicked out of here eventually.
But what's weird is, like, you know.
And don't forget, she came over here.
Oh, here we go.
I
you
was
hear
here
this?
First.
You hear this?
She came over
you
here, and then we got bought by this company. Then I came over.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was here. What?
Not petty at all.
No, not at all.
252 WCMF. We're talking about the state assemblyman. He is being sued by an ex-girlfriend. She used to work for his staff. She claims that he pressured her to date. While she was working for him, she said no. Eventually, she gave in due to his power. They had a brief relationship. She says it ended last August, and after it was done, this assemblyman demanded her resignation. She's now suing him for it. The assemblyman's lawyer says that they were romantically together. That's not what led to her departure, and we're talking about dating people at work. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think everybody knows of at least one marriage. Of a place they worked at. Like, when we talk about the building here, there are so many marriages that came out of this building. You and your ex.
Yeah.
Sandy from The Buzz and Mike Danger, who will be on with us tomorrow to talk about the Bills draft stuff.
And that's the long one. That's the one that went long.
Yep. There's another couple who worked upstairs who are married to this day.
Really?
Actually, two. There's a sales guy and a woman who are married who are working together. She doesn't work here anymore, but they met working here. So of... That we know of. There's four marriages just from this building. Yeah. Do we not have that policy?
Probably, but nobody paid attention to it.
No, you would think after the second marriage we would have gotten a memo.
Yeah, probably.
It's just too hard to, like, maybe regulate. Companies know it's just impossible to avoid. It's hard to enforce without, you know, they probably want the least amount of involvement as possible in these situations.
Well, no, but.
But you don't want the drama. That's the problem with. When people hook up at the office, you're going to get all that drama. And that's what the business doesn't want. They want you focused on work, not all the gossip and crap that's going on.
Sure. But to your point, you made a second ago, right? Like, when it comes to the people you see the most,
mm-hmm.
you see your coworkers more than you see your family, right? If you work 8-9 hours a day, you are conscious more with the people you work with than, like, if you were married or if you have roommates or whatever it is. So it makes the most sense that you would fall for somebody that you're spending all that time with.
And it can get even uglier if, let's say, you and your old lady, you work together, and you get divorced. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you start dating somebody else at work.
That would be stupid.
That happens all the time because that's how this first one happened, man. And all of a sudden now you're dating another coworker or you're tapping around a little bit, having some fun, and that gets back to her. That adds tension
to the
workplace.
I would absolutely hate having you as a coworker.
But that happens all the time.
Like that guy that you're describing.
But it happened.
That all of a sudden is going to just create complete chaos in the workplace.
But they don't see it that way.
No,
well,
but
they don't.
You keep saying
but everybody
they,
else.
You did this twice.
Yes.
And like, here's the thing. I would think, and again, we're all creatures of our desires.
Yes.
Right?
We all have desires and needs.
No, I'm not agreeing with you. Stop thinking I'm agreeing with you. You would think that after meeting someone in the office.
Yeah.
Having that relationship go south, whether it's a divorce or a breakup, knowing how uncomfortable that is, that would keep you from doing it again.
Not going to do that again.
No.
Yeah, but you also have needs and you're lonely and this person you're attracted to is talking to you. I mean, things happen, but again, we're just human.
Okay. Oh, I'm just a person. What could I do other than use experiences from my past to shape my future in a better way? Other than that, what can I do? What can I do?
But you may look at that one like you may not see that as like, well, she was just a mistake. It wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, but I can move on. I'll do better now.
Yeah, no, this one's going to be way better.
Because don't forget, when you get divorced, nobody blames themselves in a divorce. Everybody walks away the wounded victim, and I did everything I could. So nobody walks away going, well, I shouldn't have done that. I screwed up.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
And you're my friend, and I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, sure. What do you don't know?
What? When it comes to the divorce we're referring to right now.
Which one is that?
The second one.
Mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't blame yourself at all?
No, I think nobody blames himself.
No. I asked you.
Oh, no, I did everything I could.
No, you did everything.
Okay, even if initially.
To the detriment of that marriage.
Even if initially you thought I didn't do anything or I did everything I could to save this, you don't, like, not even with time did you realize, like, hey, maybe that wasn't a good idea.
I mean, like, it was my fault?
Or, like, you know, you could find some things to point at where you could have changed.
My drinking.
Okay. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. No prostitution the entire marriage.
Wow.
No cheating.
Wow.
No
Look
cheating. Two things
you.
I indulged in with my first marriage.
Oh, we just got an email. You're getting the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Do they give those out for like guys like
that? No, they don't, stupid.
Did you ever worry in this whole situation, even after time has passed, that it ruined your reputation at work? Or like, I guess.
I thought the old Joe did that, but okay.
Maybe this is a bad example, and especially with the jobs that we have. But like, I wonder how many people realize that, like, by, you know, going through a breakup or dating around, dating people at work, that like it could affect the respect you get from your coworkers.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I think,
but
men,
do you think people come to that realization?
I and here's why they don't, Kimmy, because I think it disproportionately affects men. That unless if a man and a woman are dating or married in a workplace environment, unless that woman does something so out and out wrong, bad, you're going to side with her when she tells the sob story of how it all broke down.
Yeah, because I knew a couple of examples of the guy, you know, they had kids and the whole thing, and they worked together in sales together, you know, and stuff, and then they split, and then he was the scumbag right out of the gate.
Was he the scumbag, though?
Yes.
Okay, so...
But, we didn't know the story. You know, everybody assumes he's a scumbag, but you don't know what goes on behind. You don't know what that other person's like to live with.
Oh,
right?
You're right.
Well, you're going to find out, depending on how bad that breakup was.
Yes,
well,
but you're getting everybody, their side of the story.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
But that's what I mean about like kind of ruining your reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Because if that person's really, really pissed and that's a bad breakup and that person wants to say whatever, all the things you did wrong and what a terrible person you are.
And the worst thing is if you like both people.
Yeah.
And I did. And that was the hardest thing. Like, I you know, and I kind of know where he was coming from. And I kind of know where she was coming from. You know what I mean, bro? So, but again, I sided with the dude because I liked the dude. Okay. I liked her too, but, you know, I'm going to go over here.
See, that's how dumb you are. You would side with the person that you need more at work.
No, but I didn't need either of them, really. I mean.
Okay. Yeah, no, your career is taken off from that moment. Not promoted in 30 years. No, but Kimmy, the long answer to your question. The reason why people don't ever figure out this is a bad idea or my reputation could be hurt is because of what Tommy just said. I mean, you saw a glimpse into his mind when he justified going back in again. I don't think men have the ability to say, I don't want to do this again if they feel like someone is giving them attention and likes them.
Yeah.
And because the man is usually disproportionately affected by this, it keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, but when it comes to this situation in Albany, there is a different tone to it due to the power dynamic of the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, he is her boss. Mm-hmm. You brought up there are companies that say management can't date employees.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, are you going to fire that person?
Only if it goes south, probably, right? I mean, if it doesn't make any noise, there's no issue. There's no reason to go in there and do anything about it. So if they date and nothing happens, they'll probably just let it go.
But here's the thing that sucks, too, right? Like, you talk about the negative reputation after a breakup, Kimmy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've also seen stories, seen personal situations of folks dating people above them. Even if the relationship goes well, that person who is dating the boss also gets a reputation of the only reason you're doing this is to make sure you have job security, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, even in great scenarios, those reputations can be destroyed.
Oh, sure.
So I guess it's the question of, do I think this has enough legs to be something forever versus how people feel about me and my job?
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, you're also talking in a world.
In a world.
Thank you. When you were younger, where people stayed at their jobs forever.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Now maybe people are less concerned, Kimmy, because you know every couple of years you could be moving on to somewhere new.
Well, yeah, true.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The boys are back in town.
Yeah, buddy.
Almost all the boys are back in town.
Okay.
And I'm going to let Kimmy tell me how scared I should be about what is going on in Orchard Park right now.
So what's the matter?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. All right, tomorrow night is the NFL draft.
Oh, boy.
And we got two very special things happening.
Mm-hmm.
First off, you can join me.
I thought you said special.
I'll be at the Bill Gray's Tap Room.
That's special.
For the draft, tomorrow night out there in Chi-Line. Mm-hmm. It's our favorite spot. You can get dozen wings for only $12. Jenny Light pints only $3. I'll be there start at 7 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow night at the Bill Gray's Tap Room, Chila Avenue, for the draft. Also, in celebration of draft day tomorrow.
Yeah.
At this time, we will be doing a very special Tommy Tells It Like It Is draft edition
on tracksuit day. Wow.
Oh yeah, you're gonna use a used tracksuit.
I'm not. I don't have $40 every week.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't
spend money on fennel. You will not need to watch the draft at all.
No.
Because Tommy, our football expert, mm-hmm. will tell you everything the Bills are going to
do. I've
been
checking some stuff out, bro.
Betcha I'll get some stuff out.
Special draft research.
And then after 9 o'clock tomorrow, our good buddies from 95.7 The Fan Sports Bar, Mike Danger.
Mm-hmm.
And from Let's Go, the Let's Go Duffalo podcast, Ryan Duffin.
RD's coming in?
Yep, they will be in after 9 to recap Tommy's picks and actually give us an idea of what will be happening in the draft tomorrow night. And as the draft, as the GM and the front office are getting ready for the draft, the Buffalo Bills players are in Orchard Park this week for voluntary workouts.
Back in town.
Yeah.
So just stretching, hitting the weight room.
That's exactly what they're doing.
So no big deal.
Some meetings here and there.
Yep. And everyone is there.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. The whole gang.
Well, almost everyone is there.
So who's not there?
Running back James Cook, who is in the last year of his contract, has not shown up to voluntary workouts.
Yeah, but they kind of treated him like crap because he wanted to get paid.
Okay.
And he was a good player last year.
Like crap.
So let's walk through this.
The dude was legit last year.
Yeah. Let's walk through this.
Saved their ass, McDermott.
How?
He had some great games.
He had some great games. He played a football.
He had some great
game.
He had a run like the wind.
Okay. So for those who don't know, James Cook is going into the last year of his deal. He wants $15 million a year.
Now what's that to these people?
It's a lot.
A lot of money.
Because you just paid Josh $250 million again.
The owner's got a freaking yacht.
There's
a house
salary
in
cap.
Miami.
There's a salary cap. You can only spend X amount of money
they
year.
Can work around that. Okay. They can slip over here, do this over there.
Oh, I didn't think about the slipping over here.
Over there like
stop that.
That.
That's a felony what you're doing.
No, that's your mom.
He's more of an $11 to $12 million a year player.
I'm not we're bickering over a chintzy $3 million.
Yes, that's they can pay $11-$12 million. He wants $15 million. And by the way, it's over like 4 or 5 years, so it ends up being $15 million to you know.
All right,
look. There's been a little drama. General manager Brandon Bean said a few weeks ago, they're not even working on a deal with his agent right now. And
talking to him.
So he's gone.
Not necessarily. Everybody else that is up next year the Bills wanted to keep got deals done. He's the only one that went public with his demands. He went on social media and said he wanted $15 million a year. He is not at voluntary minicamp. Kimmy?
Yeah.
How scared should I be right now?
I would give it like a yellow alert. You know, not
what other? What, you can't just say yellow. What colors am I?
I don't know.
What's the worst color?
It's less than red.
Okay, so I'm in the middle. I'm a 50% scared.
But yeah, but you're inching towards trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Yellow means you're going towards trouble.
Yeah. This is a message from James Cook that I'm not happy currently, I think.
Okay.
It's when he doesn't show up to the mandatory stuff that tells me he's not playing until he gets what he wants.
Okay, so mandatory mini camp will come after the draft.
Yeah.
Then comes training camp. So, Kimmy, you're telling me.
Like, I wouldn't. If he doesn't show up to the mandatory stuff, I wouldn't expect to see him at training camp until they figure something out.
You know, we haven't had a holdout for a Bills player in a very, very, very long time.
They're due.
So, is he worth it to some team? Because he was a legit. He was a legit threat last year.
He was a top five running back in the NFL. And I don't think
it just doesn't seem outrageous to me what he's asking for.
No, but here's the problem.
Right now, it is. Especially when he's got another year on his contract currently.
And the problem is, if you give him that $15 million a year, it takes away from other players that you need on this roster the ability to re-sign them. It takes away, you know, $3 million a year could be a middle-of-the-road wide receiver. It's a depth offensive lineman. It's a rotational D lineman. You need these things.
So I guess my question is, if he splits, he'll get his money somewhere.
Maybe. It all depends.
And who replaces him? Because he had a great year last year. Who's the guy that's going to replace him?
He did. There's a deep running back draft here. They have Ray Davis last year who showed promise as
he had some moments.
Off-speed back. Who knows? I mean, James Cook is the highest running back they've taken in a long time a couple years ago. I don't want to lose James Cook. I really like
you
James
need
Cook.
That running game. You guys always, oh, the running game. I don't have a
yes,
running game.
But, I mean,
Josh needs a running game.
Well, look, I don't think it's a coincidence he wins MVP the year that James Cook has his best season.
Right.
All right. But that being said, the Bills also had arguably the best offensive line in football. So is it James Cook? Is it the offensive line? Is there another running back that can catch balls out of the backfield that does what James Cook does that'll work cheaper? That's how this works. You play the game, bro.
I think he's smart doing what he's doing. Go get his money.
Look, I want the guy to get his money. Here's the thing. I'm always pro-labor. You know that. I get where he's coming from. I know that he does not want to go into a contract year with no guarantee, risk getting hurt, and then he's out millions of dollars.
Right.
I get it. But you are playing a risky game here.
But that's their business, right?
It could blow up in your face.
I mean, if he goes someplace else and gets his money and he plays in a nice, sunny, warm climate, what does he care?
But he may be overvaluing himself to other teams.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Right? There's, Kimmy, countless examples. I mean, recently with Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley, they left teams, had amazing seasons, got paid.
Right.
But before
he's got to be thinking the same thing, man. Why not me?
But here's the thing. Before last year, there are 10 other running backs you could point to where they tried to do the same thing and it was a disaster for them. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I hope he gets his money.
He ain't going to get $15 million from the Bills.
Good. I mean, I could care less with the Bills. Let him go get his money.
Why are all the
stars doing it? Because they're being dicks, man.
Again?
No, but they're not. I mean, they're not obligated to do anything right this second.
I get it.
He's under contract for another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't care about these contracts.
I'm not listening now.
No, but these contracts, you can wipe yourself with them, man.
What do you mean by that?
Because like they don't care about these contracts. If you get hurt, they don't give you guaranteed money.
You're absolutely right. Look, like I said, I want the kid to get his money. I also want him to be a Bill. I want them to find that 12-5 middle ground. You shouldn't have said it out loud what you were looking for. You shouldn't have.
No?
He's the only one that didn't get the deal done. He's the only one that went on social media and said, this is what I want.
So you think if he didn't say anything, he would have gotten it?
I think that they'd be closer to a deal now. Right. I don't think he would have gotten 15, but I think they'd be closer to a contract. I mean, look how bad it looks for the front office, right? Like, it makes – I mean, Kimmy, there has been cohesion in the locker room for so long.
Yeah.
Brandon Bean, in a poll a couple of years ago done by The Athletic, was named one of the top three general managers in the NFL by players because of how much he goes out of his way to make sure – if they have to get traded, he consults with them.
Yeah.
He's upfront and honest about them. Like, the guy, the players like Brandon Bean.
Yeah.
At least most of them do.
Yeah.
So it's not even like you can point to him and be like, oh, that guy's being a dick.
Yeah.
Well, it also makes things a little bit more exciting now, right? You got some, well, you got a little drama, something to talk
about. I don't like this at all.
It's fun to watch other teams do that. You know, well, I don't want to.
No.
I don't like it.
It's kind of fun.
No, I'm not having fun. You're having fun? Yeah. What is fun for you? What, do you want to go close your dong in a dresser drawer? What's fun?
Not again.
This is fun. I like when the Bills are forced to spend money.
Yeah, let them spend.
Shut up, man. Shut up.
Got a goddamn brand new stadium over here. You can't pony up $3 million.
That's why they can't spend, man. They're cutting coupons trying to finish that stadium. All right, so again, Tommy Mulay will be making his special Tommy Tells It Like It Is draft day picks tomorrow at this time. We will have Mike Danger from 95.7 The Fan and from the Let's Go Duffalo podcast, Ryan Duffy. Yeah, he'll be at After 9. And if you want to come out and watch the draft tomorrow night.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
That's right. I'll be in my really cool Josh Allen Wyoming jersey in honor of draft night at the Bill Gray's Tap Room tomorrow. We'll see you at 7 o'clock tomorrow night here on CMF.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.